There's a medrash in this week's Sefer Parshas Noach. The medrash asks a very simple kasha that we've all thought about. Many answers are given to this kasha by the Rishonim, by the Achronim.
Yeah.
But this kasha is actually dealt with by the medrash to say this. And the first kasha we're going to bring out from this medrash is the difference between the first part of Krishna and the second part of Krishna. In Kriyat Shema, we say first, we go through that parasha, and then we go into the parasha of Ahoyim Shemaya. And we add at the end, Ayyema, but we're dealing with the first two parashas. There are some similarities between the first parasha and the second parasha. Similarities in Lashon, the language is so similar that you could slip from one into the other and get a quick shortcut. Maybe Shaila and Halacha, you sort of GPS have seen you in the first parasha, or maybe you've already finished the second parasha. There are similarities. Yet, although they both demand certain expectations from a person, there's a difference. In the first parasha, we're talking about how much a person is meant to give up for the Ribbono Shel Olam, what do we say? V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol mo'edecha. Mo'edecha, chazal teich, mo'edecha means with all your resources. Everything you have, you give away for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Get to the second parasha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, but not the whole Moedecha. One difference between the first parasha and the second parasha. Another difference, says the Medrash, is that in the second parasha, the Ribbono Shel Olam promises a yid, at least Klal Yisrael, if you keep the mitzvahs, if you do what I say, then I'll give you schar b'olam hazeh. It's not the main schar, the main reward, of course, is in the world to come, but the schar b'olam hazeh, the tar al tzachem, the itar yod of Malkush. And if not, chas v'shalom, golos. In the first parasha, there's no mention of Schar B'olam Hazeh. That's the Medrash's problem. Why should there be this difference between Parasha Rishonah Shel Kriyat Shema and Parasha Shneiot Shel Kriyat Shema? Parasha Rishonah, Vovcha Nafshecha and Moedecha. Parasha Shneiot, we stop. Not Moedecha. Parasha Shneiot, the Schar B'olam Hazeh, Parasha Rishonah, there isn't. So the Medrash are very posh to different. They're talking about two different types of people, two different types of Avodas Hashem. The first parasha is talking about Limud HaTorah. The second parasha is talking about mitzvahs. No. But the second parasha is talking about mitzvahs is quite clear. Where do you see Limud HaTorah in the first parasha? So the first parasha is the Shail of Ava. So the Medrash says that when it says V'chol Vovcha V'chol Napshecha V'Avtza V'chulu U'minayin Atalomid She'in Ava Zu El Aloshim Talmud Tanchuma. Because the Pasuk says, which means you've got to learn Torah. So you see that the first parasha is the parasha of Limud HaTorah. Do you see? Do we see that? The first parasha is a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is followed by a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there must be a connection between the two. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, when he brings mitzvah, loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, how are you ever going to feel that love? How can a person inspire himself to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Study Torah. Good. So there's a connection between the two. But does that make it a parasha of Ava Hashem? Of Limud HaTorah? It's a parasha of Ava, not a parasha of Limud. One Ha'ara. Vaita, the Medrash says, and therefore, because the second parasha is a parasha of mitzvahs, for mitzvahs, when you do, a person does a mitzvah, he gets Schar B'olam Hazeh. But the first parasha is a parasha of Limud HaTorah. And Limud HaTorah is beyond the Schar B'olam Hazeh. The schar of Limud HaTorah is Boilam Habo. It's also very confusing. Is there no schar for mitzvahs in Olam Habo? Of course there is. About a schar mitzvah the higher on the leg. So the main schar of a mitzvah is also in Olam Habo. Is there any schar for Torah in Olam Hazeh? Well, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah Elu Dvarim She'in Lehem Shiur and Elu Dvarim Shalom Eichot Tere Shem. The second Mishnah says Dvarim She'in Lehem Shiur. We go through a list of mitzvahs and we finish with Talmud Torah connected kuno. So of course Talmud Torah is Peiros Be'olam Hazeh. What's the Medrash telling us? That there's something about Schar Be'olam Hazeh that relates to mitzvahs and not to Torah. And lastly, and this question will lead us into the way out of this, is the second parasha not talking about Limud HaTorah? There is Limud HaTorah in the second parasha as well as there is in the first parasha. Somehow the Medrash of the first parasha is all about Limud HaTorah. Is that clear? The emphasis is, if one looks at this Medrash, the Medrash is dealing with another issue. It's trying to tell us that within Limud HaTorah there are two parts. And the Medrash asks another very famous question. The question that, you know, you're surprised the first time you hear it, actually, Chazal, actually, a Medrash. The Gemara says in Shabbat that the time of Matan Torah, they siyatsu v'tachti sahar, which literally means they stood under the mountain. So the Gemara, yeah, that's what happened. And the Shmorch lifted our Sinai over Klal Yisrael, and he hung it there and he said, listen, I do accept the Torah. If you accept the Torah, it's good. I'm going to drop this to Shomtei Furiachim. I'm going to bury you alive. The Klal Yisrael were forced to be in the cabin of the Torah. How does that fit with the wonderful story that we were told as kids about the Rebbeinu Shem going round to Umas Ha'olam, and they all said, no, we're not interested. And he came to Klal Yisrael, what did they say? Now to the Nishma. They were thrilled, they were excited, they wanted to accept the Torah. No, one suddenly turns around and he's threatening them. We have to threaten somebody with masks. Tosafot there on the Gemara asks the Kasha. The Medrash is a Pashut attempt. Kama Torah Shebichtav, Kama Torah Shebaalpeh. When we're talking about Torah Shebichtav, Klal Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma, with pleasure, gewaldig, we're excited, we're interested, we'll take the Torah. Then the Rebbeinu Shem started talking about Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah Shebaalpeh, it says, Doch nicht. We won't take Torah Shebaalpeh. Kof aleim ha'kigigis. So you have to force them to accept the Torah. Okay. So what the Medrash, L'chayra, what it's telling us, and there's one of the Girsais where it says it's the Seirish. Of course, there's Limud HaTorah in the second parasha of Kriya Shema. But the Limud HaTorah in the second parasha of Kriya Shema is the Limud HaTorah of Torah Shebichtav. What's special, what's meyuchad about the first parasha of Kriya Shema is that Torah Shebaalpeh. So we've got a parasha Rishona of Kriya Shema where there's Torah Shebaalpeh, and that type of Torah the Eden don't want to take, and you need a kfir, you need to force them with a kaf alem hakigig. So the second parasha of Torah, what, of Krishna, what's that talking about? Keeping mitzvahs and Torah shebichtav, and that parasha is easy, everybody's happy with it, Klal Yisrael are willing to take it with an Asa v'nishma. What's behind it? This is a very long medrash here, and the medrash talks about the qualities and the importance and the value of Torah shebaalpeh. What's so special about Torah Shebaalpeh? What do we see? What's so meyuchad? What makes it so such a great bracha? Medrash starts, Yisborach Shmoy Shel Melech Malchan Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who chose us from the 70 Umas, and he didn't just give us Torah Shebichtav, he gave us Torah Shebaalpeh. There's a wonderful Maila called Torah Shebaalpeh. So Medrash says, I tell you, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Kirei Sbris with Klal Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make a covenant to really connect with Klal Yisrael, what triggered that connection? What was the root of that connection? So the Medrash look at the pasuk and you see it says, "Ki al pi hadvarim ho'ela," not because of, not biglal. Al pi is the reference. Torah Shebaalpeh. Al pi hadvarim ho'ela. Because of Torah Shebaalpeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kairis Bris. So that connection that we call Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only possible because of Torah Shebaalpeh. Why is that? For the Medrash to know why? Because Torah Shebaalpeh is extremely difficult. The importance of Torah Shebaalpeh is Brit. Why can you only have a Brit with Torah Shebaalpeh? Because that's the most difficult of all. The Medrash goes through the Shainas Mamish. It's very difficult. Ein divrei Torah nikvin ala v'nisha neyis atzmai olel. A person has to kill himself over his learning. And because you have to kill yourself over your learning, therefore, there's a bris. What's the shaykhus? How does that show us the quality in Torah Shebaalpeh? It's so important because the only way to get it is to kill yourself over it. And the Medrash brings the famous Lashonos of the Mishnayos about Limud HaTorah, how the person is successful in Limud HaTorah, Pasta Melach Tuchal, Umayim Bamsura Tishta. It's got to be difficult for you. Rav Meir Shapiro was collecting for his yeshiva. You know, the Rav Meir's yeshiva was the yeshiva that was the first really well built dormitory with a proper dining room. It's going to make it geschmack. And he raised a lot of money to build the yeshiva. Once went to collect from somebody and he asked him, if I say, Rav Meir, you want to make a yeshiva? Fine, I'd be happy to help you. But don't you know that Kachi Dauka Shaltira, Pasta Melach Trichal, Mind them through Tishta, and everybody knows the mayor turned around and said, Pastor Melach, take how? You should eat the Pastor Melach. Good, have heard. Well, the Poshtep Shat, of course, is that the Lomei Torah, even if he isn't actually Oichel Pastor Melach, has to be willing to eat Pastor Melach. If you're not willing to live a chayei tzar, a person who's not willing to live a life of suffering, can forget about limud haTorah. Where's all this going? Like a long medrash. You've got the parasha Rishon of Krishna, parasha Shnei of Krishna, and the parasha Rishon is so special because it's talking about Tirish Baal Peh, although we thought it was talking about Abba, talking about Tirish Baal Peh. And Tirish Baal Peh is so important because through Tirish Baal Peh you get a brit. And why do you get a brit? Because it's difficult. What's it say? What's so important? The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah uses very similar lashonos to this medrash, and there's a lashon in the Rambam that can help us open up what's so special, what's so remarkable about Tirish Baal Peh. Now the Rambam has been through the main halachas of Talmud Torah in Perek Aleph and in Perek Beis of Hilchos Talmud Torah, but in Perek Gimel he starts something new. He says Shleisha Kesarim Hei. There are three crowns: there's Keser Kohuna, there's Keser Malchus, and there's Keser Torah. Keser Kohuna, if you're not born a Kohen, nothing you can do. Keser Malchus, either you are a descendant of David HaMelech or you're not. But Keser Torah is Munach, it's waiting there. Anybody who wants can come and be Zeichel Kisra Shel Torah. How are you Zeichel Kisra Shel Torah, Dr. Rambam? The only way to be Zeichel to Keser Torah, Chayetza Tichya, and that's what the Rambam starts going at you. You know what Talmud Torah is? It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You can't be mad to ask me all now. All the halachas that this medrash is bringing, all the dinim of Talmud Torah, are brought in the Rambam there because you're going to be zeichal le kisra shel Torah. So we now have a better definition of what the quality of Torah Shabbat is. It's kisra shel Torah. What is keser Torah? What does that mean? And bechlal. Talmud Torah has to be the tzar. What about other mitzvahs? Don't we have a klal in Kol HaTorah Kulo that l'fun tzar agra? The more effort a person puts into a mitzvah, the more tzar he gets. A person can do the same mitzvah on Tuesday and on Wednesday. But Tuesday it came easy, Wednesday it was difficult, and the tzar is so much more. The Ochot Tzadikim brings from Chazal, echod b'tzar mimeya shalei b'tzar. 100 times more tzar because it was done with difficulty when it was a time when it wasn't going easy. So that is a klal and kol HaTorah kula. Why are we focusing on the tzar of Talmud Torah? Goes even further. The Rambam teaches that the mitzvah of l'fum tzar agra is not talking about mitzvah. The Rambam says it's talking about Talmud Torah. The fact that l'fum tzar, the measure of how successful you are, is tzar, that's miyuchad to Talmud Torah. Why is that? Why should Talmud Torah have a special inyan of tzar? The Torah seems to be this vort, kisra shel Torah. Because Limud HaTorah has the quality of being a keser. What's the maila of a keser? The third attaches that you already have in the Kuda. When a person does a mitzvah, there's no shaila that mitzvah is poil on him, affects the world, affects the Olam HaTzadikim. There's endless effects when a person does a mitzvah. It changes the ruchnius of the brit. And kedai a person to be born to come into Olam HaZeh for one mitzvah, even a mitzvah kalah. But what's happening when a person does a mitzvah is a person exists in Olam HaZeh. He's a physical person and he's doing a physical action. He's shaking a lulav, he's eating matzah. That is a physical action. But that physical mitzvah will have ruchnius bigger effect. He's in Olam HaZeh. He's shaykh to Gashmi, he's doing a maisa Gashmi, but he's connecting somewhat to Ruchni. An Adam Gashmi connecting to Olam Ruchni. In Limud HaTorah, when a person learns like he should, he's not shaykh to his Gashmi, he's shaykh to Ruchni. When we talk about a keser, what is a keser? A crown. A crown is something that beautifies the person. When a person does a mitzvah, of course the person has done something remarkable, but he hasn't become something remarkable. His actions are tremendously effective in faith. But can you say that he has a keser, that he now has a new beauty, a new aspect to him, is there something that he relates to beyond himself, and he's become a different person? Nachnisht. That's keser. So the Moses the Rambam, person is capable of learning Torah, that's also mitzvah. You can learn Torah, you can do the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but it still won't be keser. A person will have done a mitzvah, he'll have done Talmud Torah, but won't have become Talmud Torah. But if you want to be Mekayim Mitzvah Zukaroi, a person wants to be Mekayim Mitzvah Talmud Torah to the maximum, the best way to do Talmud Torah is not to do Limud HaTorah, but to become Limud HaTorah, where the person himself experiences Torah to the extent that he feels it in his blood. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He talks about a lot of inyanim of Talmud Torah, and he talks about this Rambam of Kisra Shel Torah. I said, what's that quality? What do we mean when we say a person is Zeichet Kisra Shel Torah? Sometimes a person learns something, Mishnah, Gemara, Medrash, learn something. This Mishnah Bura, what's happened is, there's information there, it's gone into his head. So now if you ask this person the halacha, he'll be able to tell you. The Mishnah Bura says Mutter, the Mishnah says Chayiv, there's a Gemara that discusses that kasha. So he can repeat what he learns. He hasn't yet become a Shtik Torah. Sometimes a person has learned so much and so well that you ask him something that he hasn't learnt about, and he says, Misvara, I imagine the Torah would say that this is Asur, Mutter, Chayav, Potter. When a person learns that, reaches that level, that his own Svara has become a Torah Digger Svara, his mind has changed to the extent that he's absorbed Torah, and when he says his own thoughts, they are also working with the power of Torah, with the Mahalach of Torah, that person has become a Torah person. That's the maximum, that's the height of Kisra Shel Torah. A person has become a Shtik Torah. It's not what he does, it's what he is. And the Mela, when we talk about Ruchnis, when we talk about spirituality, but real spirituality, not just emotion, a connection to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, a connection to something that's Ein Sof, I mentioned this, B'li Kol Gvul, completely Ruchnis, then there's got to be a distinction between Torah and Mitzvah. And we know that. There's Tzukim, there's Gemaras, there's Midrashim, and in Davening we talk about Torah u'mitzvah. And Torah u'mitzvah. Two different things. Torah, mitzvah. There's 613 mitzvahs, one of them is Torah. It's a very important one, Talmud Torah, Neged Kulam. But it's just one of the 613 mitzvahs. Here we see in the Medrash there's a difference. In mitzvahs you're living in Olam Hazeh. When a person is Oisek b'Torah, Karoi, this Kisra Shel Torah, he's becoming an Adam Ruchni. That ability to become an Adam Ruchni, that's the Ma'ila of Torah. The fact that Limud HaTorah is put together with Avas Hashem is not just because there's some sort of relationship, because, well, if you study Torah, you'll feel love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll study Torah. It's the same sugya. A person who wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only real way to do that is Yasek B'Torah. The Medrash doesn't say that if you study Torah, you'll love Hashem. If you love Hashem, you'll study Torah. She'ein ahavazu ela Lashon Talmud. The only way to really connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by studying his Torah, because at that point a person becomes an Adam Ruchni. When we talk about Bris, we talk about Dzeikus, we talk about a complete connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's the Maila of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's not just something that we do, it's something that we become. It's a Keter that we ourselves can wear. Obviously, that's going to come with a price. We talk about a mitzvah, so I'm walking around like a normal person, I'm living in this world, I live in a life of Olam Hazeh. I live in a guf, and I relate to my guf, I relate to my physical experiences. But for Shteitzach, I know there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I know that he's commanded me to do lots of mitzvahs, so I get up and do them. I put on tzitzis, I wear tefillin, I'm a kai mitzvahs, and many mitzvahs I say during the day, I'm careful of the late assays, there's kiyumit. But the person is still chai Olam Hazeh, and there's no contradiction. You can live in Olam Hazeh and do mitzvahs. One of those mitzvahs, maybe the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You learn what we call the Torah Shebichsav type of learning. You're not becoming Torah, you're studying Torah. There's no contradiction. But when a person wants to be Zeicha L'Kisra Shel Torah, he wants to absorb Torah, he wants a piece of himself to become Torah, something that can't happen. You are goof, and that is Eish. Torah Zech Ruchnir. How can you become Torah if you're completely involved in the gashmis of your goof? The only way to do that, of the Medrash, is Chaye Tzar Tichye. Disconnect from all Inyanei Olam Hazeh. If you look at the Rambam, Gimel Talmud Torah, it's all over there. The Rambam's talking about cutting off your thoughts, cutting off your involvement in Olam Hazeh. It's not a shayla of how much we eat, not a shayla of what we eat, not so much a shayla of how much time we spend on the Yon Olam Hazeh. A person can spend many hours during the day, but what are we involved in? What's exciting us? What do we live for? And what you live for, that's where you are. That's what the connection of a person is, his machshava. Shalom with Sayoza. There's an interesting here. I'm not sure it's a real kasha, it's just to bring out a point. But it says, Erev Yom Kippur, Ayi, a little bit tshuva, start thinking things over, but there's a big mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur, right? A mitzvah to eat. Different people have different mitzvahs that they're machmer on. Some people are machmer on the mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur. You should make a mitzvah, so he eats. And he doesn't want to stop eating, so he always has a sweet with him. This Rebbetzin used to give out raisins to people who had come so they continue eating. That's a sweet count, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Say Mahmud, Una S. And Shnit Halachi shouldn't eat too much to the Masekas, but you know, he doesn't want to be making on the mitzvah. So it comes to, he's just about to go to shul, and as Rishon describes, he can hardly get out of his chair. Oh, Neshletzach, and he's on his way to shul, and he gets there, and he starts Kol Nidre, and after Kol Nidre comes Ma'ariv, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echor. What's it, Bokshay? No, not Bokshay. Baruch Shay! Say it loud. What's Shem? Why are we saying it loud? Yom Kippur, a person's like a malach says Baruch Shem now. Okay, fine. He goes through a Ma'ariv, and then he goes through a Shachris, and often a Ne'ila, and doesn't miss out, at Musa's Meinich, and then a Milcha, and after Milcha, there's a Ne'ila, and the height of Ne'ila, and Hashem Hu Elokim, Tuch Ne'iladik. And then, Shesha, Urachum, Baruch Hu, you start Ma'ariv, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. And now he's ready to scream Baruch Shem the Amalach. Shh, Baruch Shem. I don't understand. Erev Yom Kippur, I just spent 24 hours, I was machmer like Rav Akiva Yigan, I eat at night as well. Have been eating for 24 hours, I come into shul, what do you say? Baruch Shem like a Amalach. Erev Yom Kippur, I just spent 24 hours in complete dveikus with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And now you tell me I've got to say Baruch Shem quiet. So the kasha is a kasha veitach nisht. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. But Rav Shalom Teres is something very sweet. As Baal Shem Tov says, "Machshavta de'inish do'yinish." A person is where his thoughts are. So to Mamela, Erev Yom Kippur, Avada, he'd been eating all day, but what was he thinking about when he went to shul? He remembers the people who were here last year and are not here this year. He starts chapping some of the things that he's doing that are not right, and left with ruchnis, his mind is in ruchnis. His guf is in gashmis, his mind is ruchnis. So Erev Yom Kippur, never after 24 hours of fasting, tak of the guf. It's not Shai Tzolim Azeh. But what's his mind on? The coffee and cake when he gets home. That's where your mind is. Zog Baruch Shem. A person is where his thoughts are. Machshav to the Inish. Doi Inish. Stop the Medrash, stop the Rambam. It's not so much what you do. But if a person wants to get involved in Talmud Torah, wants to be Kainer, the Ruchnias of Talmud Torah, that's not possible. You're goof. Where are your thoughts? Where are our minds? Where are our hearts? Where are our interests? And if our interests are Olam Hazeh, forget it. A person has a commitment to pass the melach, to chai etzah. That person is a person who can tak a bizeicha to ruchnis. Or maybe it's not the medrash. The fact that there's bris, the fact that this tzar is not the mikra. The fact that this tzar is, because now you're changing every piece of gashmis, rooting out one piece of gashmis, replacing it with ruchnis. Taga, in divrei Torah niknim, el abimisha meimis atzmei olel. We're going to have to kill out one little piece of our Olam Hazeh, of our guf. Some gashmis has to go. Where there's gashmis, there can't be ruchnis. There was a beautiful lashon of the Chazon Ish in one of the zigris at the beginning. But that misa, that death, killing out one little piece of myself, will be mechaya. It gives you a new life. The Medrash here wants to prove how awful and difficult it is to learn Torah, how indescribably painful it is to study Torah. And the Medrash brings a pasuk, Ha'om ha'hulchim b'choshech Elu b'alei Talmud. You see how difficult it is to learn Torah. They're described as those who walk in darkness. What's the end of that pasuk? Ha'om ha'hulchim b'choshech Ro'u o'er gavl. What you bring me that pasuk from? The Medrash actually brings it and says the Medrash is made in air. Torah says that is the experience of Limud HaTorah. You sit down to learn and you can't be bothered. The person's tired. And he just doesn't have the care to concentrate, and he focuses and he tries, and it hurts, because the Limud HaTorah doesn't hurt, then it's not Isakatir, it's not Shabbatir. It's painful, it's frustrating. But he goes through and he pushes himself again and again and again. Choshech, it's Tzah, the Seifei, Ra'o Oyer Gadol. Misa, but our Misa Azu, Tachaya Ba'aleho. The only way we can remake who we are, not just what we do, is with Limud HaTorah. But not Stam Limud HaTorah. The Limud HaTorah of Teresh Malteh. What is Teresh Malteh? Bris. What is Bris? That the Medrash Taker, in the Retira Nikna Melab Misha Memes Atme Alel. The Loisimotse Teresh Malteh, Eksel Misha Yevakesh Uyneg HaOlam. A person wants pleasure, forget about Olam Hazeh. A person who wants Taiva, forget about Limud HaTorah. A person who wants Kavod, Gedulah, success. He's looking for achievement. He's got dreams of what he's going to become. Teresh Malteh. No chance. You want to have Teresh Malteh? There's a price to pay. And of course, it's a negah to everybody. A negah to anyone who's learning Torah. It can be 5 minutes a day, 50 minutes a day, 2 hours a day. But during that time, you cannot compare an hour of sitting back and learning to an hour of Eisek HaTorah. And it's not just 100 times more. Like with a mitzvah, echad b'tzah m'neo b'tzah. It's a different story. One is you're doing Talmud Torah, one is becoming Talmud Torah. One is a person who is Gashmi, but doing a Maaseh Ruchni. One is a person who's slowly changing himself, bit by bit, day by day, from being an Adam Gashmi to Adam Ruchni. And of course there's one more question. What on earth is this Medrash doing with Parshas Me'ach? You're wondering about that. That's a wonderful medrash. It goes so far, the cash is so strong, that it's been suggested that maybe in those days they also had Ben Azmanim. The Gemara says Rava would tell his Talmidim not to come to him in Nisan and Tishri. So after Ben Azmanim, Parshas Me'ach, this is the drasha that they gave. A bit weak. What's it, what's it got to do with Me'ach? I'll tell you a story. They once asked a great Ilu, a big time Chacham, when he was a kid of 7 years old, someone asked him a question to cash. There's two sedras in the Torah that start with the same word. Parshas Me'ach and Parshas Tovus, the Eila Tovus. So they asked him, how is it that when it comes to Parshas Me'ach we call it Me'ach, and with Parshas Tovus we call it Tovus? Either both, this should be Me'ach and that should be Yitzchok, or call them both Tovus. Parshas Tovus, Eila Tovus Yitzchok, who are the Tovus? But Rashi, Yaakov and Esav Hamurim b'Parshas. But when it comes to Me'ach, who's Tovus Me'ach? Shame Chom Yafis is not what it says in the Pasuk. That's the first Rashi in this week's Sefer. What do you mean? Eina Tovus Me'ach. You don't tell me, you just say Me'ach Ish Tzadik. But Rashi, who are the Tovus of Me'ach? Not Shame Chom Yafis. Ma'asim Tovim. In other words, Eina Tovus Me'ach, Me'ach. So when it came to Tovus, who's the Tovus of Me'ach? Of Ya'i Yitzchak, Tasha Tovus, Takei Tovus, Yaakov Esau, Mu'in the Tasha. But here, who are the Tovus of Me'ach? Me'ach, that's why we call it Me'ach. The beginning of the Medrash. The hakdama to this wonderful medrash about the Shabbat Shemesh of the Shabbat who gave his Tish about that Eina Tildes Noach Noach Noach, the mile of this parasha, the mile of this tzaddik was that he recreated himself and changed the old Noach into a new Noach. And you learn this parasha, you think, I also want to do that, I also want to change myself. The way to do it, Tish about that.